Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. And there he is. Everybody's favorite cousin, night, morning, don't matter the time. Cousin Shade, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm loving it, Shane. I'm seeing all these cousins. Man, you know, when we do this in the summer, of course, we, you know, a lot of these cousins are still there.
Yeah.
But I think they, you know, they wait. There's like, oh, those two fools are still doing this. You know what I mean? But not when we're a month away from college football, Shane. We, you know, look, we've got hundreds of people already just lined up waiting. They can, I can sense it. I know you can sense it. And certainly the cousins can sense college football just around the corner. You know what?
I love it, man. I love it. Especially when somebody asks me what I do for a living, I tell them I do a SEC podcast. They're always like, and what else?
Well, for you, the answer's golfing. You know what?
Hell yeah, man. I haven't been able to go much lately here. I don't know if you could tell. It looks, sounds like I just ripped through a whole carton of Marlboro Light 120s or whatever they're called. I'm a little under the weather, so I appreciate everybody just being patient. I turned the mic down so you guys don't have to hear all the sniffing, but hopefully the volume's better. But the one thing I like about it, Mike, kids are about to show up. It's go time. You know what I'm saying? You put out an excellent video either earlier about Steve Spurrier. I don't know if you put it on here, but it's freaking awesome. Just talking about even the kicker, you know, he might be in the Army, left, right, left, right. Just it feels like football's in the air when you start getting stuff like that posted. And I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. We're going to have NFL here in a week. So football's on, man.
Right. And if you ever, you know, if you want to make the game a little bit more interesting, Shane, check out our friends over at mybookie.ag, presenting sponsor for the third year, I believe, in a row.
Yeah.
Mybookie.ag is the website, promo code SEC. No simpler than that. We even simplified it from last year, Shane, just to make it super easy for the cousins there. So, again, head on over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. If you put in an instant deposit, they will match it 100% with that promo code SEC.
Yes.
So go help us out. Help them out. It's a great way to help the show. You know what?
Make some money, man. It's the season to make some money. Hey, before we get going, Mike, I want to give a shout out to one of the cousins sent me a book. Normal hate. We don't like each other. Missouri, Kansas hate. Our ancestors literally burned each other's towns down. Huge shout out to Mark Goodridge. Sent me a book. You could probably see it behind me here somewhere for explaining the real hatred between these two teams. And I tell you what, it is an absolute awesome addition to the show. So I appreciate you, cuz.
Yeah. Where's mine?
I got it over here. What, just wait till I'm done reading. You'll get. It's not as much not as many pictures in there as I'd like, but still good book.
Well, also we can shout out Shane Sark After Dark just became a member of the channel. I think hell I know yeah. why. So Sark, welcome
to the family.
Hey, we had another one here, Shane. I do want to shout out Sark though, because I mean. What better time, Shay, to be a damn Texas fan rolled into the SEC, whooping everybody's ass. So shout out Sark, and what a name, Shane Mick Sniffery. I hope I'm saying that right. Welcome
to the family.
Cousin Jared just gave us $2, Shane.
Hell yeah, thank you, cuz.
Probably for all the nice things you said about LSU, and it probably would have been $3 if I'd be a little bit nicer. You know what?
That's it, Mike. I'm bringing you along slowly but surely. I did get asked a question earlier today, how to become a cousin. It's real simple. If you go in the show notes, Mike's placed it in there, but you do have to do a little work. You have to click notes. You got to hit the more button. You got to hit the more button again. Eventually, it will pop up, and you'll see down there where you can subscribe to become a cousin, official cousin to that SEC podcast. So I appreciate everybody taking the time to do that.
Hey, shout out Chasing Life, Shane. What a name. That's what we should call you, Chasing Life, these days. Member for 6 months. I'm guilty. I'm the one that falls away a bit in the offseason. I did. Yeah. Here, did I hear correctly that Shane is full-time on the job now? What?
Yes, full-time podding it. Looking forward to an awesome, awesome season. So be sure to check out the morning shows. A lot of folks are wondering when that's going to be. It's at 7:30. So if you want to have a little SEC hangover, maybe you just want a quick recap of what happened the night before, you could definitely do that. You could do it right from this channel right here.
And shout out Rusty, Shane. Give us $5. Appreciate you, Rusty.
Thank you, cuz.
Long time no see, cuz. Enjoyed all the Media Days content. I appreciate you, Rusty. Yeah, for anybody that hasn't checked it out, I counted it up today, Shane. 23 interviews are on the YouTube channel. All this stuff's free. And you know, maybe if you're just listening back, you're probably looking at your feed like, good Lord, what are all these? They're there as well. But yeah. YouTube, however you get the podcast, 23, and we... I got about 10 more to do, Shane. So with the Media Days, coverage is not slowing down. Trying to pump that out as quickly as possible before fall camp. Get rolling here across the SEC next week. So, yeah, so I don't think anyone's covered Media Days like we have. And that, you know, that even includes the SEC Network, I think.
I mean, I'm not pointing fingers. I mean, they could have moved us a little closer to the action, make it a little easier to get this content. But by God, when they made it to our booth, Mike, we made sure to ask the tough questions, not the fluff questions. So you'll enjoy it. I tell you what, I get tagged to more stuff. I really enjoy it. A lot of people are asking, hey, is it okay if we use this video or that video? Absolutely. Use it away. The point of Media Days, in my opinion, Mike, is to find out the pulse of each of the 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference, and I feel like we got it this year.
Yeah, well, Chase in life, I think he's got a pulse for us, Shane. He knows
hell
how to warm
thank
us
you,
up. He just gifted 5 memberships, Shane. Raw for a reason. That's his name. Don't come at me, folks, here. That's what his name is. Gray God, Tall Tyne Timbers, and JL Man 979, and Steve Johnson.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of Chasing Life.
Welcome to the family.
All right, hey, Shay, we got a lot to talk about. I mean, football's here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, shout out one more. Shout out. Jaso just became a member. Jaso, welcome
to the family.
We ain't going to turn away cousins that are coming into the family. You know?
Hell no.
But...
isn't it kind of crazy? Before you get going, as you're doing these interviews, you know, honestly, I forgot some, you know, like you would post a video. I'm like, damn, I forgot we had that interview. And it turns out it was a great interview. So I appreciate all the work you're doing behind the scenes, because editing 3 cameras and one of them being this fat bastard, I know it is not easy, because I have a tendency to talk more than I should.
And I hope you don't get mad at me telling this, but again, we keep it real here.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, by the fourth day, Shane was like mad at me that I was getting people to come talk to us, because he's like, damn it, we got enough. And I'm like, we're here. Let's get some shit done. You know what?
He's grabbing the janitor over there. Hey, how do you break down the Hall of Fame? You know? I was like, dude, Mike, we've got enough. We're good.
But hey, all right. So again, we got a lot to get into. And man, this SEC expansion, people love to talk about this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So again, I like to focus more on the season, but season still a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
And this is not going away apparently anytime soon, Shane. Anybody that missed it, and the only reason I'm bringing this up, because I thought this was fascinating, on Feinbaum's show on Friday, Shane, this was wild. So shout out Scott Hamilton of the Post and Courier. It's a big-time paper down there in the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. He says, this is a direct quote here, North Carolina and the SEC have a handshake agreement to join forces. Now, he said he's not going on the record. He's not reporting that, because it's just one person told him that. But he did say that. And he also, you know, there's been a lot of speculation that Virginia would come with North Carolina to the SEC. He claims, this is Scott Hamilton, Post and Courier, via the Paul Feinbaum show. He claims Virginia is not coming to the SEC. They're going to the Big Ten due to academics mostly. That tells you everything you need to know about the Big Ten right there, doesn't it? But let's highlight that. North Carolina to the SEC, that's what I've always been told. That's the target. That's the one the SEC wants. Big Ten wants them. I really do think North Carolina to the SEC would be a great, great move. What's your thoughts on it?
And by academics, it means them bastards are like, which is a smarter move here? Going south and get our ass kicked every Saturday, or move north and have a shot? So that's what he meant by academics. Now, I mean, we talked about this. We've been talking about this expansion. I just don't think we can avoid it. I'm not particularly – here's the thing. I don't know what Big Ten's doing. You know, it feels like they can't expand anymore, but clearly they're going to, which is, it feels dumb to me. It feels like they're almost creating their own league. In the South, I don't think we need to compete with that because regardless, out of the 16 teams, more times than not, I think we're going to crown our national champions out of this league. So should we add North Carolina or any Clemson? I mean, that's another one that keeps coming up. I don't think we should, but I don't see the advantage to – tell me, Mike, what's the advantage to adding North Carolina other than basketball to this conference?
Well, because that is a Southeast state.
Yeah.
That the SEC has no footprint in. Literally, the SEC network is located in that state. But North Carolina is just an absolutely huge university with a tremendous fan base. And they are very strong in athletics, not just basketball, but basically all of them except for football for some unknown reason I don't know. But I just think they very much pride the state institution.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Texas now, Oklahoma, on and on and on, Mississippi, Louisiana State. You know, they want the flagship.
Yeah.
And if you're in the Southeast footprint, and if North Carolina's going to make a move, if you don't add them, they're going to the Big Ten. I don't think that's really going to like kill the SEC by any means, but I don't think that's a great look if the Big Ten starts coming into your backyard. Because if they're adding North Carolina, they're likely going to add Clemson. They're likely going to add Florida State, and they'll probably add Miami too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, add them all. You know what I'm saying? That just feels like that's what we're doing. Like we're at a bargain shop and we're just grabbing everything. Just because the menu says it's a dollar doesn't mean you got to have one of everything. And I feel like that's kind of what the Big Ten's doing. And that should be the ultimate question. It's like, when's enough enough? You know, I mean, how many they got in there now? 20, it feels like. So that's my only thing. If you have the Big Ten have 30 football teams and the Southeastern Conference sticks at 16, I still like the chemistry. I like the footprint we currently have. Adding North Carolina makes sense as far as location because there's a lot of great games that you could get to quickly.
Right.
But I don't think our hands should be forced because of what the Big Ten's deciding to do. In fact, I think we should maybe force the hand on what the Big Ten's actually allowed to do.
Right, but, well, I feel like the way you're looking at it, and it's totally fine, because it's probably the way most of the cousins look at it, is like, well, North Carolina, that's not a great football program, and I want great football. But if the Big Ten keeps adding all that, you know what that's going to do? They're going to get more money. They're going to get more money via television. They're already thinking that they get all, that the SEC's runs over because they can't pay like the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is just going to get more and more and more and bigger. And you could sit on your hands if you're the SEC because you are the best. You got the best fans. You got the best programs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't make moves, then you're going to get passed.
Yeah.
If they didn't add Texas and Oklahoma when they called, guess what? Their ass would be in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah.
Don't you think the Big Ten would be hell of a lot better off if they had Texas and Oklahoma?
Yeah. Yeah. I get you. I get it. I just don't like it. I don't like change. You know me, Mike. I just don't like change. But I get what you're saying. And what my thing is, again, just the number ultimately. Because let's say we do take North Carolina and I don't know who the other one would be.
Right where I was going to ask you.
Okay.
So let's say, because if the SEC expands, and it's not a certainty, but I'd say it's a 90, feels like 98%.
Yeah.
Just for you, Shannon said that. I think they're going to expand. So let's say they get North Carolina.
Yes.
They're not going to add just North Carolina.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense to be at 17. So who should the SEC add? And again, if they can't get Virginia, which I don't know why the hell they would want Virginia, but apparently that's one. If it's not Virginia, who is that next team that the SEC should add to get to an even number?
Mike, I think, we've been dinking and dunking here. I feel like if you're going to expand, let's expand. I like, here's me, just me. I'm just, this is, there's no science. There's no nothing. I just feel like if we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's own the state of Florida since it's in the South. So give me Florida State, give me Miami, give me Clemson, and give me North Carolina, those four teams. Let's go to 20. Let's do it. If we're going to grow, let's grow. Let's just add two teams and then have the same conversation 3 years later.
Yeah. Hey, they might do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I want any of those damn programs, Shane. Especially Florida State. Get the hell out of here. Miami, they don't have a real football program. They have a real football program about once every 10 years. Fans show up and somehow they produce something. But
if not Miami, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
How about that?
I don't want Notre Dame either. But
I mean, I don't want any of them.
Notre Dame is the prize that I think anybody would take.
Yeah.
But they just would be a horrible fit, I think, in the Southeastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Which hell, I don't know. I really think North Carolina would be a fit. But how about this wild card? This is not going to be the team. But if they were to ask me, who do we want? We're going to expand. Again, to hell with Florida State. Miami, they're a joke. Clemson makes a lot of sense. I honestly wouldn't. Maybe just leave Dabo, and I will sign off on that.
That's the part of it. But the fine print, no Dabo's allowed.
If the SEC is going to expand and we want to keep it Southern and we want a school that I think values a lot of what the SEC does, give me Virginia Tech. Because I'd rather have Virginia Tech than Virginia anyway.
Yeah, stadium experience alone.
Getting up there, I think, and then I would want no more expansion after that.
So North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and that's it.
Yeah.
I could get behind Virginia Tech. I enjoy. I mean, you know, because it's funny when you see these the best stadiums and stuff, or at least the best stadium experiences. Virginia Tech's always floating toward the top. So I think you're right. And its location doesn't. It's not that far away. We got to see Tennessee Virginia Tech play there in Bristol. That was a fun game. But I can get behind that. I just feel like two doesn't make sense to me though. Going to 18. I mean, we're still going to have the same. We're going to have the same conversations. I feel like 20 is that number for some reason.
Yeah, and they'll stay at 8 conference games.
exactly.
Hey, shut up.
How close to AC? And so, what's going on with the ACC? I know it's an extremely deep league per SMU coach, but I'm just curious what apparently the pockets aren't too deep here. Are they going to be imploding at some point?
Oh yeah, no, they're imploding. Yeah. But hell, I forgot SMU's in there. But hell, maybe they had SMU. Maybe that makes more sense than anything. But I really don't want anything to do with that program. I know
Billy would piss. He'd be so damn mad. I called it. Did I not call it? Billy Lucci. I told you. I said SMU. And you guys looked at me like I had two heads.
Yeah, no, I think the ACC's cooked. I really do.
Yeah.
Hearing about, I don't know when their contract's up, but it's, they're done for. Hey, shout out Michael Rowley or Michael Dunlap. He gave us $5. Y'all need to make it down to the real Columbia for a game. Would love to show you around the tailgates.
Hell yeah.
No sign for Shane this time, right?
No, I'm just going to come drink some beer. I would love to. I'll tell you what, it was an awesome experience. And I like how the tailgate's laid out. There's a couple areas I question, like, why is there a fence there? You know, but other than that, it was a pretty cool spot, and I'd absolutely love. I went to an early game. I'd rather go to a night game. So, yeah, maybe we can work something out.
Hey, J-Soul. $5. Also heard the Big Ten wanted North Carolina. That's why the SEC will take them. They wouldn't want the Big Ten close to the South. That's exactly what I'm.
But I think
here.
Don't you think that's kind of blown out of proportion? I don't think proximity really matters. And I don't mean to be mean, but I mean by car it takes 2 days to watch a Texas game. You know, unless you just hammer down and drive. I can't drive that long. You know what I'm saying? So it just feels like whether you're in one state over or 10 states over, it really doesn't matter for viewership. And I just don't think it matters for recruiting as much as it used to, because everything's online and, you know, people live on that world.
Well, I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is recruiting players in the South.
Yeah.
And all the pitches you can make to them with, hey, if the North Carolina's in the Big Ten, it's a lot easier for the Big Ten, all the Big Ten, to recruit, obviously, North Carolina.
Yeah.
In Tennessee and South Carolina and Georgia and on and on and on. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a domino effect. I really do.
Yeah, I like this. AF says SEC four divisions. That's what happens. You get 20 in here. It's just a sweet number. It's like, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
Yeah, make it like a mini NFL. S. Scott, I hope I'm saying that right. Great interviews from me today. What are your top three interviews from the week? Boomer. Anyone stand out to you, Shane? I got to look up the damn list because you're right. We did so many. They kind of all blend together.
The Trammell one that you just posted, I walked away. I mean, that was a conversation. That wasn't an interview. Barry was on one. He was, I don't know if he just wasn't allowed to talk people that week or something, and he got up there and he just let it go. He made some great points in there. It wasn't just Oklahoma football. So I would put that one toward the top of the list.
I really enjoyed.
Man, we had so many good ones.
Cole, that was a wild hour with Cole.
Josh Pate was fun. Yeah, I mean, I felt like that was a lot of comments after the Pate one that it got to see a softer side of Josh, so that was good. Any of the Oklahoma guys were fun. Texas Ags guys were good.
I swear I'm not saying this.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be a kiss ass, but there was not a one we did this year where we said, you know, that wasn't that good.
Nick Roush, probably. I mean, he was.
But we have done that in past media days, have we not? And then this year, there was not a one. I don't think that was like it.
No. They were all really good, and we still got some good ones coming out. You know, like I said, the coaches Beamer and Drink were a great one. So if I were just power ranking, I'd say the Barry one. I would say it's always fun talking to KSR guys, just because I mean they're just. It's fun to kick somebody while they're down, you know. Not really. You shouldn't do that.
And interviewing the coaches is kind of like the ultimate high. You know what?
Yeah. I mean, because I'm anxious the night before, you know, because I'm thinking about things I want to ask them. And then while you're there, you're like, well, maybe, I don't know, we're back here in the back. They may not make it this way, and then they show up. But after it's like you just took a 50-pound jacket off of you, you know. So players were awesome too. We haven't even done the players, but we got some really good player interviews coming out. The Manziel ones are we just did those, so those are awesome as well.
How about Jeez Louise? Ones. Did y'all interview the hotel maid?
Mike
that was Shane day four.
Mike's like, let's stay one more day and just get the staff in here and see how this thing works.
Patrick Clark says, when's the Danny Cannell interview? Here's my vow, Shane. As long as I'm running this damn thing. Yeah. There won't be one.
Yeah, 4 days of SEC propaganda.
Ends with does Dakota says Shane's right. Everybody's saying Shane's right. Mr. Sip, Shane's right. Everybody agrees with Shane.
Thank you. Finally. He hates clicking on those, but I am right.
All right. How about this, Shane? So I believe, I can't remember if you touched on this during your morning show or not, but I wanted to run it by the cousins that missed it. There was a website, Bet Online. They put out odds. Mm-hmm. First Power Four coach to be fired.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is not, you know, all these guys are getting fired. This is the first to get fired. And this is just the SEC guys we're highlighting here, obviously. But how about Brett Venables? 6-1 best odds to be the first Power Four coach. Well, really, the first SEC coach fired. 6-1, Brent Venables, Sam Pittman, 7-1 at Arkansas, of course.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze, 8-1. Billy Napier, 12-1. Stoops, 20-1. And then a couple that are not on the graphic here. Jeff Lebby, 25-1. Clark Lee, 40-1. I love this. DeBoer, 45-1. Mike Elko, 50-1. And Brian Kelly, 60-1. They even put Drake on there just for you, Shane, 80-1. I don't think he's getting fired. He just got an extension. Any surprises here for you?
Well, honestly, I'm surprised Sam's not one. I mean, if you were a gambling man, you would think that would be your best shot at a guy that's been, you know, we've talked about getting fired for the last three seasons. So I love the Hugh photo. I feel like every time I'm trolling Auburn, that's the exact same photo I use. So I love that one. No real surprises here. I think if you're looking at these first four especially, those are the ones that are going to be asked the tough questions, you know, halfway through the season and definitely by the end of it. And if I were picking one on this list, it's probably the one you can't fire, and that's the one at 20-1. So, yeah, no big surprises here, brother.
How about Liquid? I'd swap Pittman and Brent, and I'd move Billy to 100-1 because Florida's making the playoff.
Damn. Come on, son. That's how you put your money. My bookie, promo code SEC.
Hey, shout out to Eli Drinkwitz. I mentioned it there, so I did want to highlight it. He got a contract extension, Shane.
Yes.
Well-deserved. Just a one-year deal. He signed up now through 2029.
Nice.
So he's got a bunch of years on his deal. And we're going to have fall camps opening all across the SEC. But Mizzou's already started, Shane. Or I don't know if the camp, you know, players in pads have not started.
Right.
But what they have started was just the press conference here. They did it here on Sunday. And only kind of notable thing I thought from Drink, he says no timetable for the quarterback decision.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, it could go either way, 50-50. Sam Horn, Bo Prabula, and hell, he's not even writing off the freshman. Matt Zoller's here. So when he said that, I was like, okay, this is kind of all bullshit. But what's your thoughts on that? The fact that here, again, you know, we don't have to technically worry about the portal or anything like that, thank goodness. Yeah. But that there is potentially, and maybe you don't even buy it, what's your thoughts on this 50-50 quarterback debate here?
I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie, just because I have seen the bad side of a quarterback competition going late in fall camp. And what I mean by that, Mike, you know, when you have a true 50-50, that means you've got to split reps. You're going to give Bo some reps. You're going to give Sam some reps. You know, I truly think it's a two-headed monster here. But at the end of the day, there's 50% of the reps going to a quarterback that won't be starting. So I hope it does. I hope it doesn't linger long. This is Jimbo-esque, if you will, if you remember those days, and we see how that turned out. So you want to stay off the fire list? Well, then get us a quarterback out here pretty early in fall camp. And I think we do. I think we all know who the starter will be, and maybe this is exactly what you got to say. But at the end of the day, too, you want to have competition in that room, because if you don't, if something does happen to Bo, you got to have somebody that can step in and not just hand the football off. So I am excited that there is some talent in that room for sure.
And how much do you buy into the fact, you know, you always hear these guys behind the scenes, they say, well, I don't think it's like where the coach is just sitting there like, you know what, Bo's our guy or Sam's our guy. I think it's more about the team really knows. The team knows after a couple practices. Yeah. All right, this is the guy. You know, let's go with him. How much do you buy in the fact that they just got to see it? They want to go into fall camp. Again, this is Bo's first fall camp, obviously, here in Columbia. So this is no shade at Sam Horn by any means. But I don't think they may not even know what they got in Bo in terms of running the offense, running the team, essentially.
Yeah.
They want to see it. They want to see who takes command, who takes charge. Do you buy into that narrative at all?
A little bit, yeah, yeah. I think another narrative, and I'm not saying that this is the situation, but, you know, there's money on the line here, too. You know, you went out here and you bought Bo. You went out here and you bought Sam. And I feel like there's people in those camps that said, hey, man, I just donated all this money so we could have this quarterback. So I feel like you got to see the competition throughout. But, yeah, at the end of the day, when you take that first snap, I mean, anybody can watch that practice and pick out who's the best quarterback. So maybe that's it. You just got to start hitting and finally pick your guy.
Oh, you know who is the guy we missed, though, Shane?
Who's that, man? Shit.
Do I even have to ask?
How'd you miss Junior, man?
Huh? The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
Shout out JR, Shane, and thank you, Stephen, up for letting us know.
Thank
he
you,
gifted
cause.
Gap Man, welcome
to the family.
Thank you, JR. Sorry we missed that. A lot of cousins in here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah, football's right around the corner.
Football, yeah, yeah. It's nice seeing them shuffle in here like a back row Baptist, you know, at an Easter Sunday.
And shout out Joe Fowler, Shane. He just became a member. Joe,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you guys. We really do.
Hell yeah, man.
So I thought this would be fun, Shane.
Okay.
And I didn't even prepare you.
Why would you?
Sometimes I do, and then you get nervous, then you're like, eh. Sometimes I feel like your best reactions come when I just throw it at you here.
Yes.
So I'll go first. Then you can always get mad when I go first, too, but I'm just trying to give you time to think
here.
No,
I know.
So I got three teams. You don't even have to have that many for could be better than we think, could be worse than we think. And here's where I'm trying to get you in your mind frame.
Yes.
You and I, we do this so many times. You know, we've been talking ourselves into circles, but we're clearly in camps of like, this team's going to be good and this team's going to be bad. Or maybe not bad, but just maybe not as good as people are saying, right? So why these teams could go against what we think? And I'll give you the example.
Okay.
And this is kind of the one I'm most concerned about. Everybody knows I'm out. Oh, am I out, Shane? Boy, am I out on Hugh Freeze at Auburn, right?
Right.
Again, mostly Hugh Freeze. But, hell, I think it's time I come around and just say, you know, I don't know. You know, the more I think about it, there's a lot of reasons. We interviewed all these people at Media Days, including the guys at Sooner Scoop and Barry Trammell you just referenced. You heard all these comments from Brent Venables. What if Jackson Arnold's a damn superstar?
Yeah.
I mean, he was just running for his damn life last year. I know he didn't look great. He'll put Joe Montana behind that offensive line. He would have sucked last year. Put DJ Lagway behind that offensive line with no receivers, with no impact running back, with an offensive coordinator that got fired six games into the season. What if this guy is magic? And I'm not saying he's going to win the damn Heisman, but maybe he just doesn't turn the ball over left and right like our previous quarterback did. We got all the talent in the world. The schedule, I mean, there's no such thing as an easy schedule in the conference, but if I just give you that information that Jackson Arnold will kind of put all the pieces together, I mean, I'm seeing an 8-9 win team here. I'm not saying go to the playoff or anything, but hell, I think playoff is even on the table. So I think the one team that I could be the most dead wrong about, Shane, is them Auburn Tigers. And hell, the defense was pretty stout last year. So does that make sense to you? The team that I could be the most wrong about,
I'm kind of like
the most concerned about all the trash I've been talking all offseason is the Auburn Tigers.
And you kind of pulled me down, not going to lie, Negative Nelly over here. I was ready to go all in on Auburn until Media Days. And I felt like that was as we're going through some of these interviews, you'll kind of pick it up, especially when we bring up Hugh Freeze. And there is excitement about the players, but there's reserve about the coaching. So I'm kind of torn myself here where I could see a very high ceiling for the Auburn Tigers, but I could see a low floor and, you know, a coach that's on that fired list. So, yeah, I think you've been wrong. I've been trying to pull this team along as the best I can because I do like a couple of things here. One, you mentioned Jackson. I think that's a huge asset for this offense. I think this wide receiver room is absolutely loaded. I feel like this is a serviceable defense and a favorable schedule. So if Auburn can catch fire early, which they've really struggled to do under Hugh Freeze, but if they can, and for those listening, you get past Baylor, Oklahoma, A&M, a tough game with Georgia. I'm not saying you win all these, but if you get past those games, if you ask an Auburn fan, they say, we can beat Mizzou. We can beat Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mercer, and you never know what's going to happen on the Iron Bowl. So, yeah, I think this is a program that has to come out firing on all cylinders, but if they do, could be a team that surprises a lot of folks in November because I can see them making a run.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? This could be the Cinderella of the SEC, don't you think?
Could be. Cinderella. Then we got
Auburn Hugh fans Freeze. Like Emily says, she's sweating. Me until the Auburn-Baylor game. I can't take it. We got a month.
It's going to be a great game. And that we talked to a lot of people about the Baylor team. Apparently, they're going to be pretty good. So, yes, that That's going to be an absolute awesome matchup week one.
All right, so the number two team, Shane, that I could be dead wrong about it, for their fans, I think, you know, they'd be damn glad. I think I've been selling this program short all winter or summer or spring or whatever they'll. Ole Miss, how about them Rebels, Shane? Again, 8.5. I mean, that's got me a little confused. The odds to win the SEC, the odds to win the national championship. You know, I just think, you know, people are kind of buying into last season, which they should. You know, this was a great team. I know we can mock the failings, but Lane Kiffin's a hell of a coach. Hell, I put him top three in the conference this offseason. So, you know, I think he's a hell of a coach. And, I mean, what is the name, Shane, that just kept coming up time and time and time again at the media days? Was this man, Austin Simmons.
Yep.
And what they're sitting on under center, the follow-up to Jackson Dart. And remember, you know, he took a lot of hell for this on social media, but we had Neil McCready in the spring.
Yeah.
He told us they're paying him like $3 million bucks. And it was because others were willing to pay him this.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin's a guy that always goes out and gets portal quarterbacks, always competition. Hell, he even did it to Jackson Dart. People forget that. I mean, they essentially, I don't think they were trying to replace him, but they basically said, hey, you need to get your ass straight. Otherwise, you know, we're bringing in Spencer Sanders to take your job. Yet, they didn't do that this offseason. Why? Because they got full confidence in Austin Simmons. You know, there's no debate on who the guy is. It's been Austin Simmons since the moment Dart declared for the NFL draft. So, man, there's a chance. Oh, maybe this is the year Ole Miss finally makes it to that playoff. I could be 100% wrong about the Rebels.
Yeah, and this one is on my list, so we'll go ahead and get it out of the way since it's here. I have been really down on Ole Miss, saying that there's just something about this football team. Just saying Lane Kiffin, you know, he's had, 39 wins the last 4 years? You know, there's no way that continues with this new roster. There's maybe just because we're not as excited about this roster as we have been in the years past. And there's some good, don't get me wrong, there's some names on here. This isn't all names team. But it's not the Juice Wells. It's not that. You remember that buzz that they had last year when we kept saying this is the last dance? Even Jackson Dart, the team captain going out here recruiting. Half the people in this chat room don't even know Simmons' first name, myself included sometimes, you know, I have to remember. But I think that's the problem is Lane Kiffin has shown nothing but, I mean, he's dropped some big games. Don't get me wrong. They should have been in the college football playoffs last year. But he does show consistency in winning and getting to that 9-10 threshold competing for a college football player. I thought this is a team that is going to do the opposite. Wouldn't surprise me if it's a 7-win Ole Miss football team. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. Maybe I give too much blame for some of these coaches, but not enough credit. And Lane Kiffin has done nothing but been successful in Oxford, so maybe they do it again.
Well, you know who else has been successful?
Who's that?
Caleb Long. Remember Caleb, for 11 months.
There he is.
M-I-Z! Cousins, I think Bo will win the job. I have to remember that Bo needs to learn the playbook. Yep. Sam knows it well. September 6th is soon. M-I-Z-F! And Horton hears you, Shade. He just gifted.
Hell yeah. Thank you,
a membership. Da, da, da,
da. Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you. So he's gifting you a membership.
Shout out Jason Crownover. Welcome
to the family.
Courtesy, Horton hears you. Thank you, Horton. We appreciate you, buddy. And then Marty Funkhauser gave us a donation. Shane, Baylor's beating Auburn. Bet accordingly. Yeah, I mean, again, I just said all those nice things about Auburn, but
it goes right out the window if Baylor Bears find a win here. I will be first in line to get Hugh Freeze a new job.
All right. Here's the last one for me.
Yes.
These are the top three that I could be dead wrong about. And hell, baby, I'm just a fool because I bought in to this team before. But there's a lot of reasons to like, Shane.
Yeah.
Them LSU Tigers. Come on. Shane loves them. A lot of people love them. They haven't gotten the job done quite yet. They've been close so many times, but this should be the best roster they have overall. You know, maybe that's the critical part of it. They plugged in all over on the defensive side of the football. Blake Baker's year two defensive coordinator. About halfway through last year, I said, by God, this is going to be the coordinator hire of the year. And then the second half of the season happens, I said, good God, is this guy even a quality defense coordinator? I don't know. But, hell, that was last year, Shane. This is different this year. Year two, maybe we take that full step, the full season. Garrett Nussmeier, hell, anybody that knows football tells you this guy's, you know, God's gift here and threw for over 4,000 yards. And, hell, this was just his first year starting. So, yeah, he had some mistakes, but, you know, he's going to get better his second year. Yep. And they've retooled the receiving core. They've retooled the offensive line. There's a hell of a lot of reasons to like LSU, but similar to what you jokingly just said about Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, if they lose at Clemson, and this is kind of my hiccup. The failings of last few teams, we should not put on this one, but I just can't get it in my head that, you know, this I think is by far their toughest opener.
Yeah.
If they don't win it, I don't know, man. It just, they can bounce back. I mean, this is a new era, 12 teams in a playoff and all that, but
yeah.
you lose week one, I'm kind of selling you down the river. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And this is on my list as well. I'm high on them, but I feel like the floor could bottom out real quick. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different factors here, but for me, it's the road games. You mentioned Clemson, but don't forget Ole Miss. Don't forget Alabama, Oklahoma, hell, even Vanderbilt. There are some damn landmines out there, and some games you'll probably be underdogs in. And if you can't win those, forget week one. If you can't win three out of – I mean, if LSU finishes the season 9-3, it's a failure because they've dubbed this – their national championship run. Hell, Coach Kelly's out here telling you this is a championship football team. And if you stumble out of the gates, then all of a sudden my high projections of LSU competing postseason goes right out the window. So, yeah, they are on my list, but I'm the opposite way. Like, things could get ugly with this. A little more volatile down there in LSU.
Hey, I forgot all of a sudden here, too. Let's see. I'm curious if you saw this, Shane. I saw this over the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to share my screen here. Again, I don't verify my facts, and I've tweeted way too much, so this is going to take me a minute to find it. But Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, did you see that tweet that I – right here. Here we go. So according to College Football Watcher.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody can see this on the screen here. Brian Kelly goes to Notre Dame 2010. Major bowl wins, Notre Dame 0, LSU 4 during the time Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame, right? Then Brian Kelly leaves, comes to LSU last couple of years. Major bowl wins, Notre Dame 3, LSU 0.
Damn.
Again, this should not all – it's not all Brian Kelly's fault, but that's pretty damning, isn't it?
No, that is. And that's a terrible looking stat. You don't want to see that. But that's, again, that's why I feel like there was such a buy-in, literally, pun intended here, by Coach Kelly, because this is a coach that is up against the wall and knows that they're, I mean, year four?
What are year four. Years?
Yeah, year four. At LSU, you're supposed to be winning national championships, not just showing up. You're supposed to be winning them. And if you're not, they're going to find someone that can.
Hey, shout out to Aaron Harmon, $5. About to go to dinner. Where should I go? Go home.
Cracker Barrel. Come on.
Not even a sponsor. You know,
no, not even a sponsor. Should be. Tag them. Let them know that I'm here still. Grandpa's Country Fried is the way to go.
Okay.
Don't get me started, Mike. Don't get me started.
It was a donation, so I had to do it. But all right, so those were my three, Shane. Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU. Teams that I could be wrong about, that their fans are going to be so happy with. Is there any, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, is there one that you're in it? Because I figured you'd go here, but I don't know if you are.
There's one.
Can I guess it?
Yeah. I think I've already highlighted. Yeah, damn it. I was about to click on it. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if Billy Napier just needed more time and he finally got it here? Then all of a sudden I look like an idiot because, you know, it's easy to sit here in July and say, you know what? The Florida Gators have got a tough schedule. But what if they don't? You know, there's several folks that got on and their hot takes was Arch Manning may not be the guy. There were several that came up here and said Tennessee is in trouble without Nico. You know what I'm saying? Ole Miss, I've been on the record saying people are overlooking Georgia. What if they haven't figured out that offensive line troubles? There, we may be looking back, you know, November, end of November, 1st of December, and say, you know what? Florida didn't have as tough as a schedule as we thought. That's my biggest concern. The other one is, what if DJ Lagway is actually healthy? He looked good. He looked healthy. But what if he actually stays healthy throughout the season? I feel like that could be the biggest miss for me, obviously.
Yeah, so I'm glad you said that, Shay. Give the Gators their flowers. You know, let's give them their due. Because I also got three teams I could be dead wrong about, Shay. And number one, Florida Gators. Come on. Because, again, I've been the one singing the praises.
Yeah.
Of course, I said the same damn thing last year, Shay. I said, this is the best. I was buying Billy's bullshit. This is the best team I've ever. How's he keep having the best team ever? I'll never know. But they look like the worst damn team he's ever fielded. Couple weeks into the season, now we all know they correct it and they turn it around, but this could be even worse if you're losing at LSU, at Miami, Texas, and at Texas A&M. All these teams except for LSU beat you last year, and you're having to go to the real Death Valley, not yeah. the fake one. You got to go to the real one, and you know they're going to be motivated like hell because they may have already had a loss. Or hell, let's say LSU, remember I just said I could be dead wrong about them. Let's say yeah. they beat Clemson. How much confidence are they going to have with Florida coming into town? You know, they're going to be if LSU beats Clemson, they're probably a top five team.
Yeah.
In the polls. Now, again, top five, that don't mean shit when you go out on the field. But again, there's a lot of reasons to like LSU even in yeah. that game. So I don't know. Basically, I bought into Billy before, and he's burned me.
Yeah,
and I'll be happy to kick his ass to the curb if I'm dead wrong again. You know what?
Yeah, and I will be first in line to remind you, Mike.
So that one, I could be dead wrong about.
Yeah,
I'm also a little worried about this one, Shane. Yeah. Bama, I tried to get this thing going early. They're my pick to win the SEC. I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
But what if our guy here, Ty Simpson, what if he's awful? We've seen a little bit of him before, and quite honestly, he looked awful. But that was a different era, different coaching staff, different players around him. He's had time. He's the guy now. I don't care that they haven't named him. They've named him behind the scenes. This is your starting quarterback, and it's not even really about him. It's about this man right here, Kalen DeBoer, is finally going to get his head on straight, not yeah. have these embarrassing losses. And hell, even when they had these embarrassing losses last year, Shane, they had these big time wins too.
Yeah.
So we've already seen it. We've seen how capable he can be. We just got to not let some of these games get away from us. And I think Alabama's had to hear about the Vanderbilt games and all these all season long. But again, if Ty Simpson sucks, if Kalen DeBoer's in over his head, this thing, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, Shane, but, you know, the Florida State quarterback, he's out here running his mouth, and I've heard Alabama fans say, ooh, yay, good luck, buddy, keep running your mouth. If I'm Florida State, I love that. I love a confidence, because I don't think that team had any confidence last year. They think they're going to whoop Alabama's ass. So this may not be the cakewalk you think it is, but if Bama loses week one to Florida State,
yeah.
Get the hell out of here. They're not doing anything this year if Florida State's beating them. You know what?
Jeez Louise, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bob. You know,
Liquid says Saban coming back. We'll get that going again. You know what?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's absolutely right, man. And that's, you know, that is true. That is a team that we don't talk about. I mean, just they've already marked it as a win for Alabama. If they don't, then then all of a sudden we were wrong. Oh, shit, Rick, you're right. And I was hoping you weren't going to say anything, but that may be the biggest miss right there is the fact that I am shitting on the Texas Aggies. And I will say this. I saw an interesting I don't know if this is true or not. It may be. Pete Thamel talked about Elko saying that this is the first time that he potentially has double-digit draft picks on this roster. And, you know, say what you want. If the talent's down there, man, the talent will show on Saturday. So, but I'm still not buying in, Rick. and I think they're all right with that, Mike.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so Alabama, I could be. And then here's the last one for me, Shane. The third one I could be absolutely dead wrong about. You want to take a guess?
Let's see. Who else? Texas?
Oh, you were close. Oklahoma. Again, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to make a playoff or anything, but yeah. I do think they're going to be one of the most improved teams in the conference. Love all that we're hearing about John Mateer and company.
Yeah.
But who knows, man? This thing could go sideways here. The offensive line could suck again. Literally every Oklahoma person we talk to, Shane, they say, God, this Michigan game's huge. Uh-huh. And you know, you drop at one. What if Jax Arnold comes to town and whoops your ass? You know what I mean? Like, if that happens, I mean, if nothing else, we probably got to fire Brent the next day.
Yeah.
Because you can't run off two quarterbacks in a row and one be a Heisman finalist and one comes back into your building with a team you're probably going to be favored against and whoop your ass. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's why Venables was had the highest odds to be the first power SEC coach fired. Because it makes sense. You lose to Michigan, you lose to Auburn, you're a dead man walking.
And the last one I've got for you, Mike, and that's just the good old battered ball syndrome, is them Tennessee Vols. I mean, I could sit here and tell you Aguilar's going to be the guy when I heard that we still got a little bit of a quarterback competition down there. You know, I keep out here saying, hey, the offensive line gone, that's not a problem. Look what we did in the portal. Look who we recruited. But there's still some games early in the season that could really dictate the final for them Tennessee Vols, and I'm worried a little bit about this team coming together. So I'm still high on them. I want to be crystal clear. I do think Tennessee doesn't drop as far as people want, but there's still a chance that what if they do, you know? I mean, you got the Boo Carter situation. It does feel like there's the locker room's finally starting to gel a little bit. Maybe that's a good thing, but right now it's a little bit rocky up there at Rocky Top.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out to cousin Robert Jenkins, Shane.
Yeah.
Comment of the night. Cousin Shane's biggest miss is the special at Cracker Barrel.
They're so special, you know, if you know what you want. That's every night's a special at Cracker Barrel. So, hey, I'll go anywhere you want. One of the things about – here's the thing about that meal, all right, because technically it's a breakfast meal, but it could be a dinner. I mean, I've had country fried steak – clearly for breakfast and lunch. The biscuits and gravy is the ultimate X factor because you could just choose to have biscuits and gravy and consider that a breakfast meal, or you could just get some of that Concord jelly and start throwing it up there and then all of a sudden you've got some damn, you know, dinner dessert. So yeah, it's a great meal. It's a perfect meal.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey buddy, anything else before we hop off the line here?
No, I appreciate everybody piling in here. It's college football time. Just Mike's going to put it in the show notes. There's a link to leave voicemails for the morning shows. Those really help. Not to mention, I'd love to hear from you. You know, if you're high on your football team, let us know. If you hate a certain football team, let us know. That's the way this thing is meant to be ran. And I look forward to seeing everybody early in the morning, except for Mike, because his ass will still be in bed. But I'll be there hell or high water.
I'll be up late getting some interviews ready because we got more of those coming. I'm trying to get them all out this week.
Hell yeah, man. And we got some big show notes coming up, dates. Circle August 1st. We got some special stuff for the cousins. Circle August 5th. Mike is going to be debut. This may be the last time you see Mike. I mean, now he's a movie star. You may not see him anymore. We got the Netflix coming out. What did you watch Happy Gilmore 2? What'd you think?
I haven't seen it yet. I just I've seen so many negative things. I haven't even really wanted to check it out.
I felt bad. I felt bad for posting what I thought it would be. Uh-huh. I still stand behind it. It was not. Sequels are tough, especially if it's been a long period of time, because the expectations, the standards are so high. But it was nice to see some of the players, you know, it was the golfers, and it was nice to see some of them, the actors from the originals, making cameos in this one. I thought that was really cool. But overall, I felt like it was kind of a miss. I felt like it missed a little.
I wouldn't even recognize the golfers, to be honest with you, Shane. But I'll have a recommendation then. I almost watched it, and I decided to watch a different movie.
Yeah.
And I thought it was awesome. It's a little out there, but I thought it was a lot of fun on HBO streaming.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Death of a Unicorn. It's awesome.
So you said, I don't want to watch Happy Gilmore. I want to watch a unicorn movie.
Yeah.
Is it like a real unicorn in it?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Didn't they do a Far Side one of those? You remember you remember that Far Side cartoons? I used to have shirts. I used to wear them all the time. Those little cartoons that did.
Yeah.
And they're on Noah's Ark, and there's a unicorn that's just laying dead, but you can see a hole in the side of the boat, and you're like, all right, who did it? You know?
Hey, shout out Adam. Cousin Adam, he says, was Jackson Arnold the unicorn? All right, I think that's a perfect place to end it before something else gets said.
All right.
Hey, we appreciate each and every one of you. Stay locked in on the channel. Football's right around the corner.
Yep.
Ball camp coverage. We're going to have wall-to-wall this week and every week all throughout college football season. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.